It's hard to greet you in a normal or formal sense right now because this is a unique service. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we have not done a service like this in the 138-year history of Independent Bible Church. This is the first time. And that's not, this is just what God is doing here. And so, it's okay. You can clap. We can do that here. So it's okay. So I usually say, good morning, IBC family. And yes, you are IBC family, but I also know that is, that has to be nuanced now because it is IBC family. And it is also, I'm not going to say it. I'll wait for you to say it. So. New church plant family, but it's not the same ring to it. So you'll know in a second, and then we'll be able to celebrate it formally. I had a Freudian slip, I think, a few weeks back, and maybe most of you missed it, so it's okay. But historically, or at least in the last maybe 8 or 10 years, today, the last Sunday of January, has been our annual celebration, we call it. We used to have an annual meeting. Not many people got excited about annual meetings, so we turned into an annual celebration, and the point of the annual celebration was an opportunity to look back and to look ahead. Now, what exactly are we looking back on? We're looking back at God's faithfulness to us individually as well as in our lives as a church family. You see, remembering, which is something that is sometimes difficult for us to do, right? Remembering God's greatness and faithfulness and goodness to us in our lives is something that we need to do often. It is like a muscle, though. You have to do it proactively. You have to choose to do it. You have to remember to remember. What did David say in Psalm 103? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done to me. So one of the purposes or a primary purpose of looking back is to remember. Remembering all the good things that God has done for us individually as well as collectively. But we also take the time to look ahead. Because when we look back and remember God's faithfulness, it really bolsters our faith, right? It helps us to be renewed, or that belief and that faith in God to be rekindled, so that we can look ahead with great anticipation that, you know what, God has always been faithful. I'm really betting now that he will continue to be faithful for me in my life. That's what Jeremiah the weeping prophet said in Lamentations, of all books, right? In Lamentations, to lament, to mourn, he says, great is thy faithfulness. And so we look ahead, we're going, God has been faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. You've probably heard the old adage, the old saying, right? Need is the mother of all invention. Anybody heard that before? Need is the mother of all invention. You know, need drives invention. Well, at IBC, we were confronted with a pretty significant need. And our need was space. I mean, just look around. There's not a lot of empty space here, right? We couldn't continue to gather all at once without experiencing kind of the noticeable growing pains. And if you didn't come early, well, you were watching the service from the foyer or in the coffee room or maybe at home, whatever was suit your fancy. But as I look back at that need that we have, I was so blessed by that was the struggle we had. That was a struggle we had to grapple through, right? That we are out going like, what are we going to do? We are out of space. But it also kickstarted a necessary conversation. A conversation on the IBC leadership level to seek the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do for your church? What do you want us to do with this lack of space that we're feeling and literally feeling? Well, through this process of prayerfully seeking and really robust deliberation, the leadership of IBC came to the unanimous decision to start another church. Maybe we could call it this way, to start another life-saving station in our community. Now, let me just qualify what I just said there. There was definitely mixed responses, right, to this announcement. Of course, the initial announcement was an all call, right? It was an all call. Would the church commit to pray? Because this is one of the many considerations that we are looking into. We don't know what God is asking, but could you please pray? And so we spent months of just time in prayer. And I know that even when the time came to formally announce this is what we believe God is leading us to do, there was mixed responses to that, right? Some of you were ecstatic, excited. You said, where do I sign up? Some of you were indifferent, not really sure what to think about it. Some were confused. Some of you were angry. Some of you just left. You're probably not listening to me right now. But all of you, in some way, shape, or form, were asking this question. Why in the world would the leadership of IBC pursue the start of another church right here in our own hometown? Who does that? I talked to other church planters when I was exploring this thought and this vision, and they're like, people don't do that. I'm like, huh. Well, that's what we're feeling Jesus is asking us to do. Like, okay, well, let me know how that goes. But no doubt you were asking the same question in some form. Like, why are we doing that at all? Or why are we doing that right here in our hometown? And remember, we spent 3 weeks in the month of September of last year talking about this is why we are doing that. Remember, church planting, if you were to summarize it or distill it down to one statement, church planting is all about evangelism. Church planting is all about evangelism so that more people in Port Angeles specifically can hear and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we dove into the text meaning the Bible, we learned very quickly that church planting is the most biblical method of evangelism, right? The Great Commission implies it. Jesus taught it. The book of Acts exemplified it. And Paul the Apostle demonstrated it. We saw together that church planting is the most effective method of evangelism because, as even Steve Kennedy said earlier, all living things naturally are made to reproduce. And churches that reproduce are healthier. We saw also that it is the best way to reach new people. In fact, hands down, it is the most strategic and effective way to reach the unchurched and the de-churched. Now, granted, with that reality of planting a new church, there is a kind of a sobering reality that we have to process, right? And that sobering reality is this. Wait, does that mean our lives are not going to intersect, at least on a weekly basis, as they once did? And the answer to that question is yes. We won't be intersecting in the way we once did. And there can be kind of a sadness to that. But you see, there is a certain kind of pain when seeing friends and valued leaders not just talk about being on mission, but be willing to leave what is familiar in order to live on mission. I want you to understand, though, and this is very important for us all to hear, the church that is being sent out this morning, formally recognized and sent out and commissioned, we need to also understand that the sending church is equally on mission. We're all on mission because mission is a mindset and a choice to walk with Jesus and to partner with him, to seek first the kingdom of God. That'll be next week's sermon. So we are all on mission together. But I believe that the reassuring anticipation that you and I can to adopt and chew on is that the kingdom of God will advance here in Port Angeles. That more people will be saved for eternity in Port Angeles. And already the sending church is experiencing the rise of new leaders in place of those who are being called out. We'll be talking about that more in the weeks to come. But one of the big hesitations was like, leaders are leaving. And guess what? God is already raising up new leaders in their place. Praise be to God. So it is from this theological and from this philosophical conviction, a new church has already been formed here at IBC. And it is also why today is such a special day, because today we get to commission and we get to send out a new church with the full support of IBC's leadership and church family, so that there would be another life-saving station for the sake of Jesus Christ in this community. That being said, and without further ado, I would like to invite the first lead pastor of this new church to not only tell us of the official name of this new church, but to share the vision and the mission that God has placed on his heart. Pastor Corey Durbin, come on forward. Thanks, Corey. Corey has been, when we speak of faithfulness, Corey has been here for 8 years, faithfully serving our student ministries, and it came from somewhat grassroots to what it is today, and God has done a tremendous work through you, brother, and I'm so thankful and have no doubt whatsoever of God's leading you into this new position, so thank you. Yeah.
To introduce the secret name. let me just say a few personal things first as we get into this. One as a caution, because I'm hoping that I don't get emotional up here. And as I was preparing this, I even found myself not able to sit in one setting to put words to paper, just because of how impactful this church has been to me and my family. We love IBC. And this is certainly not something that was ever on our horizon. I, as a youth pastor, never thought that or even aspired to think that one day the Lord would have me serve as a lead pastor. I could say with honest conviction, I was happy and committed to serving the youth until the Lord called me to something different. And here we are today. And so I just want to say thank you. For loving my family, for loving me so well. Like I said, if it would have been up to me, if I didn't hate eye drops so much, I probably would have cauterized my tear ducts already to prevent anything from happening, but here we are, all right? And so it is a joy this morning to introduce to you officially Gate City Bible Church. Just a little history of where the name came from. If you didn't already know, and John McNutt actually put a little historical piece in the paper not too long ago, but Port Angeles back in the late 1800s was nicknamed Gate City. And it was the gateway to the Olympics. It was thought of gateway to commerce. And I just thought, what a cool name, especially with the history of IBC being the first church here on the peninsula. And we'll get to more of that later. But also, there's just a lot of history in the name with IBC itself. For those of you who've been here a while, remember a ministry called Narrow Gate. And so there were some of you who are part of that. So that really rang true. But even as I think about the biblical significance of the gate, you read through the Old Testament, the elders of Israel would do a lot of their business and spiritual things at the gate of the city. But I was even thinking about the New Jerusalem in Revelations. And it is described as a place with 12 gates. It is a gate city open to all those who would be redeemed. And so we hope that God would bless us in that way, that as Gate City, we would just be the open gate to introduce Port Angeles to Jesus, all right? And so we got together when we were first getting together. We met for several weeks to pray and to really ask the Lord, what would be the vision, what would be the mission that you would give this church? And so after those several weeks, this is what we have come up with. Our mission is simply taken from Jesus, given the Great Commandments and the Great Commission itself, which is simply to love God, love others, and make disciples. Our vision is this, that we are a people devoted to know, love, and follow Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit to share his hope throughout Port Angeles for his glory. Again, as we gathered for several weeks and began praying about the future, we were asking the Lord to answer this question for us. What would this church look like in 5 years? And so we brainstormed and we sat and we asked the Lord to give us a vision. What would be the ideal church? That what would God do? And so we came up with this 5-year vision. And again, this is wholly dependent on the Lord's doing, but we are praying that in 5 years, we would be described as this. We are a Christ-exalting, joy-filled family of believers where every person is known, loved, and belongs. We are a diverse community growing together in maturity and grace of the gospel where older generations disciple the younger, and every believer is equipped and empowered to use their gifts. Our worship is Spirit-led, our prayers are constant, and the fruit of the Spirit is evident among us. We would be rooted in Scripture and sound doctrine. We pursue intentional discipleship pathways for all ages and live as a compassionate refuge for the hurting and the searching, a safe and authentic place. We are generous with our resources, serving our community with open hands and open hearts to the glory of God. We'd ask you to pray that we would be made and molded into that. There's a few people I just want to recognize, just to introduce you to. I'm not going to have them stand up. They'll be up here later. But just so you know, the leadership of the church, the first elders of Gate City Bible are Christian Phobian. And yeah, maybe you should stand up. And Mr. Mario Salgado there in the back. And we've had several people who have already taken on the weight of ministry, and ministry leaders who are stepping up as well. I didn't tell them I was going to do this. And so I just want to introduce you to our worship ministry lead, our worship guy, Jeff Esham. Where are you at, Jeff? There he is. Our children ministries leads, that's children in nursery, Ashley Konopaski and Christina Becker, around here somewhere. I think they're hiding somewhere, I can't see. I didn't see them, they're over there somewhere? All right. Outreach ministries, Jessica and Adam Orvitz. They're over there. They're second row, all right? They don't want to stand up. We have our prayer ministry team being led by Tyler and Britt Carey. I think I saw them over here somewhere. There's Britt. Thanks, Britt. Life group ministry being led by Jarrett and Leanne Hansen and Randy and Beth Carey. We have our tech and audio, we love those people, being led by Pauline Smith. She's back there, she doesn't want to stand up, but she's... hospitality ministry, being led up by Doug and Susan Neville. There they are. And there's other, already, other ministries that don't yet have names, such as we've got a crew of guys. We've got Eric Fledstrom, Dennis Dahlman, and Ken Smith who are working together to secure a place, the future place of IBC, or Gate City, excuse me. and of course, everybody who's involved with women's ministries, men's ministries, communication, all the things. People are really stepping up, and it's amazing what the Lord is doing. What I've been excited about this is the thought that we're already going to get to invite people who do not know Christ into a functional body. How cool is that? I'm just so excited to see what God does. I want to end my short little piece here with things to pray for. I have four things. First thing is this. Would you pray that God would give us favor to those we minister to? As Aaron said, the thrust of this is evangelism. The thrust of this is that we would minister and that we would hopefully introduce Jesus to a new segment of Port Angeles. That as a result of this effort, more people would come to know and worship Christ. And that the greater church of Port Angeles would be strengthened by the result of what we do here today. It's fun just thinking. I asked Aaron one day, I was like, what if at the end of our tenure, what if 30, 40 years down the road, the church landscape just looks so much healthier because of a church multiplication movement that happened here in Port Angeles? What would that do to our community? Let's pray to that end. Secondly, you can pray for a building. Eventually, we're going to overstay our welcome here, all right? We do have one that I believe is a strong possibility. We're currently going through the process and all the legalities of code and all the fun stuff there. And so just be praying that indeed the Lord will work those details out and that we would have a place to go. Ideally, we're praying that we would be planted in East Port Angeles, that we would target that community. Third, I'm praying that God would provide the resources that we need to get into a building. So once we secure a building, that we would also, he would also provide an additional set of resources to buy practical things, such as chairs, carpet, things like all the things we need to make our children's ministry area safe and secure, check-in stations, and even security things, all the things that we naturally take for granted, even parking lot lines that are surprisingly expensive, okay? some of you know this. And so we're asking that the Lord would provide an additional $70,000 to be put towards that and to get us on the way and to provide, maybe it's not through money, maybe it's through donations of those things, who knows, that God would provide those things for us. And fourth, I'd ask you to pray for those who are joining the plant. I can speak for many. This is not something they've taken lightly. I can tell you even 2 weeks after we had announced the starting of the church plant, I had somebody come to me in tears the next day, telling me, Corey, we feel like the Lord's calling us to serve on this church plant, but we love IBC. And this is incredibly difficult. I've spoken with many even this week as we've headed into this service, and emotions are high because we're not leaving for something greater. We're sacrificing for the mission. And so I'd ask that you would continue to pray. Again, many tears have been shed, and speaking personally, again, I love this body. This has been hard for me, especially. And so, we'd covet those prayers. And we just ask that God would bless this, that we would look on this endeavor 5-10 years down the road, that maybe even another church would be planted in that time. And I look forward to the reunions we're going to have and the times that we're going to have to look back, maybe on a yearly basis. I don't know, maybe we do a 10-year gathering. Say, look what God did. We celebrate that. So, thank you so much. Thank you for your prayers. I think I'm going to invite Aaron back up now. Yeah, thanks.
Corey, you just raised us up like twice the size. It's okay. I can see it really well now. Church family, I just want to explain what we're going to do right now. And so I've given some opening remarks. Pastor Corey has given his some opening remarks. But what we are going to do right now, and you'll be witnesses to, but also members and participants of, is that I'm going to give a formal charge to Pastor Corey and the leadership of Gate City Bible Church. And then I'm going to give a formal charge to you as the new church, and then Pastor Corey is going to give a charge to the sending church, and we're all participating, but many of you won't be necessarily talking, but you'll be looking on, and so that is what's happening right now, and so I'm just going to move this over here, Corey, because I want you to witness it. I'm not just going to talk down to you down there, I'm going to ask Mario Salgado to come on up here. I'm going to ask Chris Christianphobian to come on up here right now. And what we are doing right now is I'm going to be commissioning through a formal charge. Yeah, watch out for the speed bumps there. But in all seriousness, Pastor Corey, I know that I have, and I'm trying not to put you guys behind me here, so we'll do what we can here. I know I've talked to you, Pastor Corey, about, you know, just even in my own reading, recently kind of went through Chronicles and was very moved by David's charge and commissioning to his son Solomon as he was getting ready to take the reign, and he was at the end of his life, and also his charge to the people of Israel. So in light of how David charged Solomon before all Israel, today I charge you three in the presence of God and his people. First, seek to know the Lord and serve him with a whole heart every day. Seek to know the Lord and serve him with a whole heart. That's who God is looking for, one who will give him your whole heart to him and serve him every day. You see, the God who has called you to this new work is not a distant or indifferent God, but he searches every heart and he understands every motive. So here's the charge. Do not lead from your skill and giftedness alone, but instead lead from a deep devotion to Jesus Christ and him alone. Guard your inner life as carefully as your public ministry. I heard someone once say this past week. What you are when you are alone with God is who you are, nothing more. So let your leadership flow from knowing God, not merely just working for him. My second charge to you as leaders of Gate City Bible Church would be this: be faithful to what God has entrusted to you. I know you know this is not a light decision, but the calling before you is not self-appointed. You did not choose to do this. I mean, yes, you said yes, but ultimately, God is the one who has chosen you for this work. And therefore, my charge to you is to take your responsibility seriously, build, equip, and empower according to his word, not according to cultural pressure or personal ambition. And do not avoid difficult circumstances where faithfulness is required. My third charge to you would be this: be strong and courageous, and do the work that God has entrusted to you. You see, and I don't think I need to convince you of this, but there will, not if, but there will be moments of uncertainty, opposition, and weariness. And yet it is in those moments, remember that the promise that the King David assured his son and successor of Solomon, he says this: the Lord God will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. So do not delay obedience while waiting for perfect or ideal conditions. Step forward in faith and fulfill the work that God has entrusted to you. And finally, I would charge you in this way: finish the work with perseverance. You see, church planting is not about bold beginnings, but faithful endurance. Lead with patience, lead with humility, lead with repentance, and lead with hope until the work God has assigned to you is complete, trusting that he who called you will also be the one who sustains you. That's my charge to you. And what I've asked to do is I've asked a couple of our sage elders, Elder George Wood and Vern Swenson, to come forward and to pray over you. And so Vern Swenson is going to pray first, followed by our brother George Wood. Brother. Church family, I'm going to ask you to do something before Vern prays. I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you just stand right now? And as a way of agreement, I'm actually going to ask you to raise your hands. You can raise both, you can raise one, but just stretch them forward as a way of agreeing to these leaders of this new church. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we are gathered here in Port Angeles, Washington, thousands and thousands of miles away from Jerusalem, Capernaum, Caesarea Philippi. But Lord, you started your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. The gate city, whoa. We remember, Lord Jesus, how you walked into Capernaum. You went right through the gates. You went over to the synagogue, and you spoke from the book of Isaiah. I pray for each one of these men, Lord, that they would boldly go into this church, this plant, with the word of God armed and their ability to call upon your name, Lord Jesus, at any time for help. For you're the one that's going to build this church. I thank you, Lord, for each one that you're sending, that they would feel like they're missionaries, that they need to hear each morning a new word. What, Lord, do you want me to do to help this church? Who do you want me to talk to? I pray, Lord Jesus, that your name would be high and lifted up, and that each person that goes into it from now, 10 years, 20 years, wherever, would name the name of Jesus. For there's no other name in heaven greater than your name, Lord Jesus. We just lift up Mario, Christian, and Corey, Lord, and even Jeff. They are your spokesman for you, Lord Jesus. Just put the words of your lips into their hearts and bring people to hear the good news that Jesus saves. Thank you for this church plant. In Jesus' name, bless it. Amen.
Let's continue to pray. Lord, throughout history, you have commissioned men to step up and stand in the gap. Men like Moses and Joshua and David, Peter, John, Paul, and countless others. And today is no different. You still raise up men to shepherd your church, to preach your truth, and to spread the message of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And so it is with these three men, ordinary people whom you have chosen to lead and nurture your people in a new work here in Port Angeles. So we pray, just as you commanded your servant Joshua, that they be strong and courageous leaders, not in their own strength, but in the power of your Spirit. May they be men of faith, men of prayer, men of humility and meekness, men of humble service, men committed to your word and to your glory. And we ask that you guard over their hearts, hearts not of flesh, but of the Spirit, gentle, faithful, and true. So in your name, your holy, almighty name, Lord Jesus, we extend our blessing on them. May you richly dwell in their hearts forever. Amen.
Yes, Vern, you are dismissed. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it, brother. What I'm going to ask you all to do right now, actually some of you do, I'm going to ask the members of IBC to sit, but I'm going to ask the members of Gate City Community, or Bible Church, we'll get it eventually, not community, you are in this community, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm asking to fill this whole front area right now, just come forward, yeah, I know, it's like, wait a second, what's going on, just come forward. You know who you are. Come forward right now. Squish in here, and I'm going to give a charge to you. What I'm going to ask you to do is to look at me, though. Not look out that way. There'll be a moment for that. But what I'm going to ask you to do is to look at me, because I have something important to say to you. Are we all here? I love this. So great. Gate City Bible Church members and future members, as Israel stood before David and Solomon, you now stand as witnesses and participants in what God is doing through this church. So here's my charge to you. First, remember that this new work belongs to the Lord. This new work belongs to the Lord. This church is not built on human plans alone, but on God's purposes. You are not spectators. You are part of a calling. God desires that his people would seek him, obey him, and pass on faith to the next generation. My second charge to you would be this. Support your leaders with prayer and with trust and partnership. Stand with those God has appointed to lead you. Don't stand against them. Encourage them when the work is heavy. Pray for them when decisions are difficult. There are many difficult decisions to come. But follow their leadership as they seek the Lord and his word. My third charge would be this. Serve willingly and faithfully. David reminded Israel that every skilled person had a role in the work of God. So do each of you. As God has gifted you for the building up of his church. Offer your time, your resources, your hospitality, and your love with joy and with generosity. Fourth, commit yourselves to obedience and faithfulness. The future of this church is shaped not only by leadership, but by a congregation that seeks the Lord wholeheartedly. Walk in unity. Live as a gospel witness to your community. Teach your children and neighbors what it means to love and to follow God. And finally, be strong and do the work together. Be strong and do the work together. The Lord is with you. He will not abandon you. Therefore, give yourselves fully to what God has called you as a church to be, trusting him for all that he intends to accomplish in you, but even more than that, through you. That is my charge to you. And with that, I'd like to ask Pastor Tom Lotz to come forward, and I'd like to ask the chairman of the Elder Board, Neil Penso, to come forward. And you can just come on forward, you guys. I'm asking you to pray a prayer of commissioning over this new church.
Gate City Bible Church. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Look at you. When Sue and I were commissioned with our little baby girl, there were three of us. Look at you. Powerful. Look at you. You're a powerful team. But that's not where your power comes from. Your power comes from the Lord. Go in the power of the Lord. And that's what we will pray for right now as we commission you. We're excited because God is on the move and he's chosen you. And we love that. Yeah, I was sitting there bawling my eyes out. But you guys, God is on the move. He's already been using you. We need to get you into a place where there's space to grow, to bring the lost in and be saved. Get out of here. Let's pray. IBC family, stand. We're going to commission this church to go out to be a light in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we now commission this, your new local church, to go, to be a light, to be a witness, to be a force, Lord, against the dark places, even in this town. Lord, yes, as Pastor Corey said, the focus is on the east side of this town, Lord, where there is very little church presence. And so, Lord, please, we pray, light up East Port Angeles through this Gate City Bible Church members. So, Lord, we say to them, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, in the will of the Father. Lord, we ask that you will protect this, your church, from discouragement, from anything that would discourage, cause them to stumble. Lord, we know they will face all those things because the enemy hates this. But, as has been repeated often from your own words, the gates of hell will not prevail. But Lord, that you are more powerful. So Lord, in your protection, give them health. Give them spiritual health. May their eyes be continually focused upon you through thick and thin. And Lord, may they shine brightly. May Gate City Bible Church be a beacon of your hope. Lord, a light in a dark place. Lord, that will draw the lost to you. So Lord, speak loudly and clearly through them, whether they say anything or not. That Lord, your very presence in this church, in the community over on the east side, Lord, will be felt, will be seen, and will draw people to yourself. Lord, we pray this in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's continue to pray. Heavenly Father, this church belongs to you, not to us. And we're so thankful for that because we can't do this. We need you. Today, we joyfully send these brothers and sisters. We trust your call. We trust your promise. As you sent your son, so now you send them. They are empowered by your Spirit. They are anchored in your word. They are compelled by your love. We ask that you go before them, that you prepare their hearts. Grant them unity, humility, courage, perseverance, and establish their work for your glory. May they proclaim Christ faithfully, shepherd your people wisely, and love their community sacrificially. Let their church be a light in the darkness and a witness to the power of the gospel. We send them in confidence. We know that he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. We send them in obedience to your command to go and make disciples of all nations. We commit them to your grace for the sake of Christ and the joy of many. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to ask that Gate City Bible Church members stay up here because Corey has a charge that you will participate in, but we can go sit down.
Gate City, would you guys turn and actually face IBC's congregation as we commission them? So we mentioned earlier, IBC began when eight people concerned for the spiritual need of Port Angeles organized the town's first church in 1888, 138 years ago. And just think about all that has happened in the last 138 years. When the church started, the Ford Model T would not be produced for another 20 years. Now we have Teslas. Telephones were just becoming a more common thing in the 1890s. And we're personally run by people on switchboards. Now, if you were to ask a young person today what a switch is, they'd tell you it's a personal gaming device. A lot has changed in 138 years. And in that time, a lot has been endured in the world, and yet through all the change, the ups and downs, certainty and uncertainty, God has continued to faithfully work through his people. The fellowship we enjoy today together is the testament of God's faithfulness to and his faithfulness through the people who have come before us. Out of the last 138 years of IBC, I have only witnessed 8.5 years of that. This is what I've seen. I've seen love, real sacrificial love. I've seen tremendous generosity, at times the object of it. I've seen literally hundreds of thousands of dollars raised and given by this body, whether it be supporting youth, supporting ongoing mission efforts, COTN, Embrace Liberia, His Little Feet, local ministries, and ongoing missions efforts, or even when crises have arisen overseas. The reach and generosity of this congregation has been incredible. I've witnessed lives transformed because someone in this congregation faithfully shared the hope they have in Jesus with a family member, a friend, or even a stranger. And in nearly 8.5 years, I have been witness to over 120 baptisms, many of which I got to personally record the testimony of or baptize myself here. It's incredible. Here's my point. As we have said, the service is not just to commission Gate City Bible Church, but it is also to commission IBC, to continue to do the work of ministry that God has entrusted you with. What I love about this church plant is that it is a church plant because of faithfulness, not a church plant because of strife. And so as we commission you, I want to leave you with the exhortation found in Romans 12, 9 through 18, not because you have failed to live this out, but as a charge to continue to faithfully walk in it. And so this is my charge, and on behalf of Gate City, this is our charge to you. IBC, continue to let love be without hypocrisy. Continue to detest evil, cling to what is good. Continue to love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Continue to outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence and zeal, but be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Continue to share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Continue to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Continue to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Continue to live in harmony with one another. Continue not to be proud and instead associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. And if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'd like to pray for y'all. And if Gate City, would you extend a hand out towards IBC? God, I thank you for all the blessings, the grace and mercy and love you have given me, you have given each member of Gate City through this congregation. God, I ask that you would continue to bless this church, Lord, as they continue to walk faithfully in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would continue to transform this body into the image of Christ. Lord, that you would continue to make this congregation your beautiful bride. Lord, I pray that every member of this congregation would continue to walk in the love, grace, and peace found only in Christ. Lord, that they would continue to be a faithful witness in this community. Lord, I pray for the future ministry that they do, that we do together. Lord, may it bring all glory to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris is going to pray us as well.
Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this amazing and exciting opportunity. And I just pray, Lord, for the IBC church body. I pray that as the doors are open and new faces come in, Lord, that you would just bless this body, Lord, that you would have those individuals that walk in feel the love of this church body, and that it would ultimately point to you and your saving power. And so we just thank you, Lord. And Lord, as this has been my home church for 25 years, I just pray that you would continue to bless IBC, that it would continue to grow in number, and that the gospel would continue to be taught for well into the future. We just pray that community and relationship continues to grow throughout the congregation here. And we just pray that it would be a significant beacon of light, Lord, here in Port Angeles, that it would be a testimony for all to see that your word is true and that your saving power in your son, Jesus. Please, we ask that you bless the leadership here as well, Lord, that you continue to encourage them and lead them, Lord God, to teach your word and to never compromise. And we just thank you for all that you do and your faithfulness and your glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Let's continue to pray. Father, you spoke and the cosmos was formed. You breathed and life began. You sent your son and salvation was possible. You left your Holy Spirit and help is near. Father, I pray for Independent Bible Church that your Holy Spirit would help them to continue that which they started 100 plus years ago, that you would continue to strengthen them to love, to care for, to encourage, to exhort, to show grace, to show mercy, that they would hold fast to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They would not waver in that process, Lord God. That each person that they come in contact with, that they would share the gospel with them at all possible, for it is eternity at stake. Father, that your Holy Spirit would continue to raise up men and women to go out from this body to plant another church in the future, Lord God. Pray that they would be steadfast, immovable in the faith, holding fast to that which you have called them, Father God. We pray, Father, that they would love unconditionally as they have shown all of us over the years, Lord God. Father, we want to praise you and honor you. We ask that they would continue to do so well. They have been so loving and kind. Strengthen them, Lord God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to invite Doug and Susan Neville up. They're going to pray as well on behalf of the congregation of Gate City for you guys.
Well, IBC has been a home church my entire life. I'm so thankful. And home meaning that you're family. And you've walked with us, you've prayed with us, and just been with us through so many seasons. We're incredibly thankful. So, IBC, we bless you, we honor you, we commission you to keep loving faithfully the way that you have loved us.
Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and truth. Thank you for IBC. We love the people here. Lord, I ask that you would continue to bless IBC and its leadership with wisdom, with unity, vision, and purpose. God, would you move in the hearts of your people here? Would you help them to find their people, to invest in this place, and faithfully play their part? And by your Spirit, Lord Jesus, would you encourage them? And when they would continue to faithfully do and complete the unstoppable mission of Jesus to love God, to love people, and make disciples. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Amen.
One thing we need to draw attention to and to recognize very clearly is this. None of this is possible. And all of this only makes sense in light of the cross. None of this is possible, and all of this only makes sense in light of the death of Jesus Christ. You see, it was secure because of what he accomplished on the cross. But this morning, the picture that came to my mind even this week was this. Jesus separated from his Father so that you and I might be united to our Father. And because we are called to an incarnational ministry, which means we are called to mimic the ministry of Jesus Christ, now we are separating so that others might be united to our Heavenly Father. Jesus understands. He gets it way more than we can even fathom. He was forsaken, and that was the agony he experienced. It wasn't the torture. It wasn't the crucifixion. It was the separation that he experienced by his Father, but he did it for us. That's what we're doing with one another. We're living the gospel out together. And so we draw focus. And ultimately, what we are doing this morning is, yes, we are celebrating God's work and his promise to build his church. We are celebrating that, yes, but ultimately, we are celebrating King Jesus. He's the hero. He's the one. This is what it's all about. This is who it's all about. What great sacrifice. What great lengths that Jesus went to unite us to the Father. Father in heaven, right now we celebrate you, and our desire is always to glorify you. And Jesus, we want to make much of you. We want not only to make much of you in our life, but we want you to be ever so clear and visible to the community around us because we are seeking to follow you. We thank you that you did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We thank you that the fact that we get to multiply, that there's a branching effort in this community to save this community with the gospel of Jesus. You're the one that started. The ball started with you. You were the climactic part of the human race and human history. And we know that one day you're going to come back and receive your own. And so right now, we just say thank you, and we love you. Thank you for loving us first, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.